This is Bob Griggs, and I want to share with you another golden nugget of truth. This morning I was reading in the book of Job. I've been reading through Job in the last few days, and I'm soon going to be completing having read the Bible through for this year of 2013. And I ran across a passage of Scripture that I'd never noticed before that really stood out to me. It's in Job 38, where God is speaking to Job. Job and his friends have been discussing Job's calamity and situation. You recall, if you're familiar with the book of Job, that in one day's time, he who was one of the greatest men of the East in his day lost everything of value, except apparently the house that he lived in, the place that he lived. He lost all of his wealth. Perhaps he didn't lose his property. We don't have any indication that he lost his property. But he did lose all of his earthly possessions, the wealth, that is, that he had, in one day's time. It all was taken away from him because Satan had discussed about Job. Well, God brought it up with Job, if you're familiar with the account. The Lord said to Satan in Job chapter 1, verse 12, "Behold, all that he has is in your power," speaking of Job. Now, the reason was because the Lord had brought Job up. In verse 8, Satan was visiting in heaven with the Lord, and the angels, the other angels of God, were appearing before the Lord. And in verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil," or hates evil. And so God brought Job up to Satan's discussion and consideration, because Job was a holy and a righteous and a godly man. And so Satan says to God, "Well, there's a reason why he fears you. There's a reason why he's upright. There's a reason." He says, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Verse 9. "Have not you made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased the land. But now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." That's the statement of Satan. Now remember, Satan is a liar and the father of lies, we're told in the New Testament. And he's a master deceiver, we're told in Revelation chapter 12, that he deceiveth the whole world. He's a master at deception and cunning and crafty. He's very cunning and crafty, as we saw in the book of Genesis chapter 3, concerning the serpent that he used to deceive Eve. He's very cunning and very crafty. And so he said to God, the reason he fears you is because you protect him and you take care of him and nobody can do him any harm. That's why he fears you. But if you take away that hedge that's about him and let me at him, why, he'll curse you to your face. So verse 12, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.'" Do you not hurt him personally? All that he has, you can deal with it however you want to, but don't you touch Job. And so Satan said, okay. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And he said, the hedge has been lifted, the hedge of protection. I can do whatever I want to, only I can't touch Job. So he, first of all, hit Job's family. And Job had sons and daughters, and in one day's time, they all were killed. He says in verse 13, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they've killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven. And he's blaming God, when it wasn't God that did it. The fire of God fell from heaven. Fire fell from heaven, but it wasn't from God. It was from Satan's activity. And burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said that the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, and notice, the oldest brother's house, apparently the children had different houses, and Job apparently had quite a compound. And suddenly, he said, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job rose, tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell on the ground and worshipped, and he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Now, I remember that passage of Scripture years ago. It was May the 11th, 1953. I was attending school at high school. I was in high school at the time, Lakeview High School in San Angelo, Texas. We lived about three blocks from the school. And I remember going home at noon to eat lunch. And the radio was on, and they were warning about tornadic activity in our area, to be aware of tornadoes that would likely come through our area, and to be prepared for them. Well, I asked Dad, I said, you think I ought to stay home? And Dad said, no, son. Said, God can take care of you at school just as well as he cared here at home, so you might as well go on back to school. And Dad went to the church to do some painting at the church, and Mom had come home and was home by herself. Well, the storm hit. The tornado came right through there. It hit the school and went on, and it was a terrible, terrible storm. And I remember after the tornado had passed by the school, I remember all the kids were gathered in the auditorium. One or two had broken legs that had been in the band hall, which was a frame building. But other than that, there was no loss of life among the students. But they put us into the auditorium to wait for the roads to be cleared so the buses could start running. There was a lot of damage done to the school. Some of the walls had caved in. And so as I left the school, there was piles of rubble all around the school. There were cars turned upside down and crashed into each other. A house across the street was a pile of rubble, looked like a pile of toothpicks. As I looked across the street another direction, there was a mom-and-pop store, and the wall had been ripped away from the mom-and-pop store. There were shelves there with canned goods on them, and the shelves were still loaded with canned goods, and the canned goods were neatly stacked, just the wall had been ripped away and left those canned goods intact. It was an amazing sight. I'll never forget it. As I walked on toward the corner to head down toward my house, I noticed a telephone pole. That telephone pole had straw sticking out on both sides, where the straw had been literally driven through the telephone pole. I mean, it was the same piece of straw on one side that was sticking out the other side. It was just an amazing thing to see. And I started walking toward our house. On both sides of the road were piles of rubble of houses. Some houses were intact, other houses were just completely demolished. And finally, by counting the intersections, I was able to figure out the one that our house was on, the block. And as I walked up to the block where our house had stood, the neighbor's house was partially damaged, but part of it was still standing. And I recognized it, but our house was completely gone. There wasn't anything left on the foundation. Only the concrete blocks of the foundation were still there. Even the plumbing had been ripped out. And yet I had the most wonderful peace of God. And as I stood there at the corner of where the house had stood, and I looked at what was completely gone, and nothing but the dirt showing, the words of Job came to mind. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the peace of God, I just cannot describe that wonderful peace that flooded my soul. And the Lord whispered to my spirit and said, Bob, everything's okay. And you know, I felt that it was okay. I didn't know where my mom and dad were. I didn't know but what both of them had been taken away and had been killed. But I had that peace, that indescribable peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And you know, that's the way God wants us to walk. Only a few times in my life, in times of calamity, have I experienced that same kind of peace. I remember that peace flooding my soul one time when I was hanging upside down in a seat of a pickup that had turned over, and I was hanging in my seat belt upside down. My hat was still on my head. I was looking out the window in front of me, and the peace of God flooded my spirit, my soul. And again, the Lord said, everything's okay. And it was. Even though the pickup was upside down, and even though the load of wood that I was pulling that had jackknifed was down the road, everything was okay. The pickup was destroyed and had to be gotten rid of. But I was fine, and the two people that were with me, they had some cuts and bruises because they didn't have their seat belt on, but they were all right too. One of them did have maybe a broken rib, but he wouldn't go with the emergency because he said there wasn't anything they could do about it if it was broken. And it was a good thing he was with me because he had his window down and he said, don't open your door, Bob. Come out over here. And on my door was where you put gasoline into the vehicle, and there was gas leaking from that place, the spout. And if I'd opened my door, it might have caused a spark that would have caused an explosion. So again, the Lord was taking care of everything. And so I listened to him, and I crawled out the window on his side. Well, the Lord gives peace in the midst of trouble. And when calamity hits his kids, the peace of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience. And this is what I believe Job had. He had that peace that passes all understanding. All of his children were gone. Every one of them. He had lost every one of them. Back over in chapter 1, it tells us concerning his possessions. That verse 3, he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Verse 2 says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost all of that in one day, even less than a day, in just a few hours' time. It was all gone, every bit of it. And yet I believe Job had God's peace. And that's a wonderful thing. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And it does, beloved. It's a peace that you really can't describe. That wonderful peace that I had in those two little calamities, and they were nothing compared to what Job went through. Well, the neighbor's pickup was sitting in front of our house, and as I stood there and looked at what was left of where our house had stood, the pickup door opened, and my mother stuck her head out, and she said, "Son, we're over here." And I ran over and got in the pickup, and Dad was there. An ambulance had brought Dad from the church. It had come by the church and saw him working and had asked him if he wanted to ride to this area where the tornado had hit. And Dad said, "Yeah, I live in that area, I guess." They told him where it was. And so he rode with them and walked up to the house and got with Mother. And Mother had been blown a block, I found out later. She was blown a block. She said that when the clouds got dark, she went through the house and closed up everything, which was the worst thing you could do because it caused the house to just explode. So she closed up everything, went into my room, looked at the scripture text calendar for that day, which said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." And so she had claimed that promise, walked over to my bed, had heard about people getting under a mattress when a tornado hit, so she lifted up the mattress, crawled under it, and she said just as she laid down, the wall came down upon her. But said then it was like a giant hand had picked it up, and said it picked up the wall, and it picked her up, and said she went through the air, said she had her eyes closed, she went through the air like a feather floating through the air, said it was just so gentle the way she went through the air, and she was set down across from where our house was, to the house on the other side of the alley. Right above where she landed was a piece of wood that was about, was a 2x4 that was about 6 feet long, that was driven right into the side of the house where she landed, right below that. And yet she didn't have a scratch. She had a bruise or two, but no scratches. And she landed next to our bathtub, and it started hailing, so she crawled into the bathtub, pulled a piece of tin up over to protect herself from the hail. And then when it stopped, she crawled out, and there was a lady in the house, and she came to the door and invited my mother in and gave her some dry clothes. So Mother and Dad had gotten together and were in the neighbor's pickup waiting for me to show up. And so, you know what we did when we all were together there in the pickup? We had a praise service because we were all right. All of our earthly possessions were gone. The only clothes we had were the clothes that we were wearing. Even the car had been demolished. It had been totaled out, because Mom had brought it home, and it was in the tornado, and it had been taken across the alley, and the top was all caved in, and so it was totaled. But we were safe. We were all right. And so we had a praise service, thanking the Lord for His protection, for looking after us, for taking care of us. Yes, beloved, it is amazing, the peace of God. And I believe Job knew of that peace. Well, you recall his three friends that came, and then a fourth one that showed up. And they all were accusing Job of all kinds of sin and things that he had done. And Job was trying to justify himself in their eyes. And then finally God begins to speak to Job. And one of the statements that God made here in Job chapter 38 and verse 16 that caught my attention was, or it's verse 17, the latter part, verse 17. Well, let me read the whole verse. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? And that stood out in my mind and in my thinking because it reminded me of a time when I had seen the shadow of the doors of death. I was a young teenager at that time. It was one summer. And my uncle was campaigning for the House of Representatives for the U.S. Congress. And he had asked me to come and bring my guitar. And he would go into a community of voters, and he would set up his microphone on the sidewalk. He had loudspeakers on the roof of his car, and I would get a crowd together by singing some country songs and playing my guitar. And then when a crowd had collected, then he would give them a political speech. Well, one night we stopped in a town, Jacksonville, Texas, and got a motel. And so, like a young fella, I was interested in all the different rooms in the motel. It had two rooms. And one room, there was a man changing a light bulb in it. And there was a door over in the corner of the room. And so I went over to investigate, opened the door, stepped inside. And my foot dropped down about a step, and I thought, well, this is a closet, and it was pitch dark. I couldn't see anything. And so I thought that instead of taking another step, I thought I fell forward and hit the back of the closet. And so I pushed myself back. I didn't take another step. I just pushed myself back on the sides of the closet and stepped out, closed the door. Well, the next morning, I was waiting to shave, because by that time, I was in my late teens, and so I was beginning to shave. And while I was waiting to get in the bathroom to shave, why, I decided I'll look at that closet again. And so I opened the door to the closet, and I was shocked. Because sunlight reflected in my eyes from a slab of concrete at the bottom of a flight of stairs. Had I taken one more step, I would have gone tumbling down those stairs and likely smashed my head on that slab of concrete. Death was staring me in the face. I was looking at the door of the shadow of death, as this verse of Scripture says, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? I was looking at what could have happened. I could have gone out into eternity had I taken another step. Well, I remembered the night before how I had caught myself on the back of what I thought was the closet, and I tried to reach the back, and I couldn't reach it. It was out of my reach. And I realized that it must have been the Lord that put a barrier there for me to push back against. I don't know, but what it was, maybe the back of an angel of God. I don't know. All I know is that I saw the shadow of death. I could have died that night, but instead God wasn't through with me yet. He had another plan for my life, and He had some things He wanted me to do. And so He sent His guardian angel and said, "Don't let Bob go down those stairs. Turn him around. Send him back out." And so He did. And so, for some reason, I didn't take another step. And I know what that reason was. It was the Lord God who told me, "Turn around and go back." And I did. And I realized the next morning how close I came to the shadow of death. Well, it reminds me of Psalm 23, where David wrote and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." David had been a shepherd, and he had cared for many sheep, and he knew the sheep loved to lie down in green pastures. He knew that they loved to go by the still waters. They were afraid of rushing waters for fear they'd get caught in the rushing water, but they had to be led by still waters. And how that on a hot, dry day, they loved to have a cool drink of water that restored their energy and restored their strength. And he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." O beloved, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit comforts the Lord's sheep that are in His herd, in His flock, rather, in His flock of sheep. Yes, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have accepted Him as Savior, been born again, they're in the flock of God. And, beloved, that's where I am. I'm in the flock of God, and I know it because God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God, as Romans 8 tells us. And the Word of God tells us over in the Gospel of 1 John, over in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do I have the Son? Oh, yes, I have the Son. I remember the day that I received Jesus as my Savior over 70 years ago. As a young lad, it was September the 7th, 1941, just before Pearl Harbor in December of 41. That I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and was born anew, born again, born into the family of God, and became a member of God's family. Oh, yes, beloved, I became a part of the herd of the Lord that day. I became a part of His flock, rather, not His herd. Herd is referring to cattle, but flock has to do with the sheep and His flock of sheep, and I became a member of that flock that day. And the Lord became my good shepherd that day, September the 7th, 1941. Oh, beloved, He's been my good shepherd ever since, and He's looked after me time and time again. Many times I've come close to death, and He has protected me. He's sheltered and shielded me about. And, beloved, I'm an old man now, 78 years old. But, beloved, I'm looking forward to my glorified body. this old body has parts that are beginning to fail and beginning to give way and not working as well as they did in the past. But, beloved, I'm ready. Whenever the Lord sees fit to call me home, I'm ready. Here I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. I have no permanent abiding place here. Yes, we have a house that the Lord's given to us for retirement, a two-story house, and that's where we live. And yes, I still have my sweetheart wife. She has 9 broken vertebrae, and she has osteoporosis, she has lupus, she has Barrett's disease, she's bedbound, and I'm her caregiver, and it's my privilege to be her caregiver. And it's my privilege to be able to still make CDs and to be able to broadcast and send out the Word of God through the broadcast and over the Internet. All of this has been of God, and I have nothing to brag nor boast about except Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, who has so abundantly blessed my life and so richly benefited me with many, many good blessings. Oh, I'm rich, rich in eternal values, rich in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, rich in belonging to Him, and rich in those things that really matter. Oh, beloved, I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope there's been a time in your life when you've come to the realization that you're a sinner, lost on your road to a Christless eternity, when you understood that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." As He asked the Father to deliver Him from having to be separated from Him because of our sin. But He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And He died a few hours later in your place and in my place for our sin, which was laid upon Him, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Beloved, He took your sin upon Himself. If you will accept what He did for you, if you'll cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, You died for my sin. I believe that You were buried. I believe that You arose from the grave. I believe that You live today. I invite You to come into my life, to forgive me for my sin, to make me pure and clean." He'll hear your prayer, beloved. He'll send His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into your spirit to do the work of salvation and to make a new person out of you. Won't you cry out to Him, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? He'll hear your prayer, beloved, and He'll send His Spirit into your spirit to deliver you from sin. Till next time, goodbye.